the record, our sponsor is Mrs. Louis Leader, Yishakaya. I wanted to discuss tonight one or two dimensions of halachos of tzitzis. And they both focus on how you make the tzitzis and the question of whether one has to have specific intent when making the tzitzis. Of course, the end of our parsha, the last few psukim, the matzir, discusses hichos tzitzis. And I want to focus specifically on that second pasuk. Louis, we thank you, but we'll thank you again in your presence. Yashakayach. Only mixas rachab b'fanav, though. We said much more. Tremendous praise we said before.
What about now?
Mixas rachab. And if you could get the door, by the way. The sponsor's work is never done. But Yomar Hashem Amosha Leimor, Daber El B'nei Yisrael V'Amarta Aleihem. Tell the Jewish people, Asul lehem tzitzis al kanfei b'geyim, they should make tzitzis on the corners of their clothing, the darosam for all generations, v'nosnu al tzitzis ha-konof, tesil techeles. And you should put on those tzitzis of each corner, one of the threads should be of techeles. So perhaps someone asked me before if we're talking about techeles, we're not, but perhaps that would be a good topic for a future year. I was really thinking actually not about that, but about doing challah. I've always wanted to give a shir that I could entitle challah, not just for women. There's a lot of good lumdus in challah, a lot of good lumdus.
My friend
talk about challah? For women or for men?
For both.
Oh, okay, fine. It's a challah. Ooh. We did it in the Kol Elyon a few years ago. I learned with him challah. Very lumdish. I'll give you, there's a whole sefer from Rav Soloveitchik they put out, my friend from Archav Ruzza, from that year we were in the Kolel, Kenny Shaiwitz put out on the challah. Yeah, it's great. Okay. So we're not doing challah, though. That'll be for another time. If we have deli sandwiches, we'll do a challah here. Okay, only for hamotzi. So instead, we're going to do tzitzis. So this particular pasuk that I just mentioned, Daber El B'nei Yisrael, Be'amarta Aleihem, is quoted in the most famous parak in Shas that deals with hichos tzitzis, not the parak ha-tcheles in Maseches Menachos. And here, at the bottom of the Mem Beis Amar Aleph, the Gemara has the following line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Menayin letzitzis be'obed kochavim shehi psula. How do we know, and how do you translate that? How do we know that tzitzis be'obed kochavim are psula? What does that mean? So the truth is, if you look, like the Chasam Sofer and others, they point out that the girsa is a little bit funny here. And whether or not it's a corrupted or need to be changed, the girsa, the import of the line of the Gemara seems to be muskum in the Rishonim. The question is the following. If you have tzitzis strings, they're already made, and let's, since we're living in 2006, let's assume that they have 4 hechsherim on the plastic bag. So of course 2 wouldn't be enough, and even 3 might not be enough. So now, a non-Jew takes those strings, and he runs them through and ties them into the hole. That's what this Gemara is talking about. Not a later stage, and more importantly, not an earlier stage. The earlier stage will be the second half of tonight's year. But the Gemara here is talking about if you put the strings into the tzitzis. It may. We're headed there, Myron. We're headed. What's the halacha? So Rabbi Rav assumes that it's psula. But he wants to know what's the source. How do we know such a thing as psula? Says the Gemara, Shin Amar, our pasuk, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'asulam tzitzis. The Gemara Darshins, B'nei Yisrael, Ya'asu, V'lo Ha'ovde Kochavim, Ya'asu. B'nei Yisrael here is learned to the exclusion of non-Jews. That's number one. Number two, this pasuk is learned to be referring to that particular act, the running of the strings, attaching the strings to the corner of the beged. Parenthetically, it's worth the noting that there is a minority opinion in Rishonim that Darshan's this pasuk also of B'nei Yisrael v'lo B'nos. This actually has to do with it's a parallel from a famous Rabbeinu Tam about Hilchos Tefillin called Sheyeshno B'Kshira, Yeshno B'Ksiva. The women can't write to Tefillin or perhaps even be involved in other preparation of the Tefillin since they're not chayiv to put on Tefillin. So some Rishon, that's it's interesting discussion in Hilchos Tefillin, and the Rabbeinu Tam, it's a minority opinion, but there are those who hold that could be applicable to tzitzis here also, since women are pturos from tzitzis, therefore perhaps they cannot make tzitzis. That's actually a minority opinion. La halacha we paskin, maybe not l'chachila, but b'dievet, a woman who makes tzitzis, assuming that it's made correctly, the tzitzis are kshera. So That's not a Gemara. If it would be a Gemara, we probably would that wouldn't be debatable as much. But that's the Rishon building on that Gemara. But the basic din in our Gemara is Bnei Yisrael v'lo Akum v'lo Eini Yehudi. A non-Jew is not. The Rambam, when he quotes the Gemara l'halacha, says the following. This is in Hilchos Tzitzis, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis. This is where you see his how he read and understood our Gemara. Tzitzis she'asa osa kuti. Tzitzis that are made by a kuti. Just in case you doubt me, if you go back for a moment to Halacha Yud Aleph, there the Rambam speaks about making the strings. Chutei ha-tzitzis bein loban bein tchelis tzrichen tviya l'shem tzitzis. That's going to be the second half of our shir. That has to do with actually winding and making the strings. That's not what we're talking about now. The Rambam is quoting from our Gemara. We'll see in a moment. The Rambam says, again, tzitzis she'asa osa kuti. The strings are made already, but you're putting them onto the beged. What we, colloquially, what we call making tzitzis. Right? Anyone who's ever been to a mitzvah fair or a camp or a yeshiva that made tzitzis, they didn't make the strings. They didn't wind the strings. They didn't take the wool. They had strings, and they made them on the beged. And what did everyone say? What do you do today? We made tzitzis. That's this Rambam, halacha perakid, halacha yudbeis. What if a non-Jew would do such a thing? Says the Rambam, apostles, the tzitzis aren't good. Shenei Amar, quotes the pasuk, our Gemara, Da'ar Bnei Yisrael, v'asu lahem tzitzis. Uncontroversial. Good, Rambam's quoting a Gemara. Now we know what the Gemara meant. If you just read the Gemara in its own, with our Girsa, it's not so clear what the Gemara meant. But now we know what the Gemara meant. Fine. Comes along the Rambam. He's like running a stop sign. He should have just stopped there. But he keeps on going. And the Rambam adds, tells us a halacha, which is completely original. It's not discussed in any Gemara. What about the following, says the Rambam? Im osa osa Yisrael below kavana. What if a Jew does the same act, but without any intent? Either that means the imam was sleepwalking, didn't know what he was doing, or more likely, it just means that he was doing it, but because he thought it was a costume. It has nothing to do with mitzvahs, tzitzis. He's just doing it. He did it correctly, but he just did it. He had no intent. Nothing to do with the mitzvahs, tzitzis, certainly not for a religious obligation. Says the Rambam, Sheira. Even though I just told you a guy can't do it, a non-Jew can't do it, if a Jew does it without kavana, it works. And this should be contrasted with what we're going to get to, as I say, later in the shir, the previous halacha where he told us, chutei ha-tzitzis, shrichen tviya, l'shem tzitzis. And that's from a Gemara Masach HaSukkah, which we'll see. But apparently the Rambam held that ha-ilichud l'ha-ilichud, making the strings is one din, attaching the strings is a different din. Now the shaila, of course, is, why should that be? In two directions. Why should the Yisrael below Kavana be any better than a non-Jew? Now, maybe that's an easy question to answer, but it's worth asking. And number two, why should this be different than the previous halacha? So the Kesef Mishnah comes to the defense of the Rambam, and he gives two basic answers. His first answer, which he says very almost obliquely, you got to read it twice to realize that he's saying two different things, not just one. He says very obliquely is the following. He says, listen, the earlier Gemara, which we might, instead of just talking around it, we might as well just quote it. It's a short little memora. Gemara quotes, that by tzitzis, ba'in and tzviya lishma, the strings need to be spun lishma. And how do we know that? This is in the context of whether you need to build a sukkah lishma. But that again, we're not learning Masechas or Hilchos Sukkah now. The Gemara quotes the proof text not from our parsha, but from Devarim. Kedilim kasta lacha, lacha l'shem chovcha. It has to be done l'shem chovcha. So the first answer to the Kesef Mishnah says, listen, the Gemara that told us it has to be lishma said tviya, said the spinning of the wool, the making of the strings. It didn't say this, right? We have a general presumption in halacha. If we're not told that it's usher, we would assume that it's mutter. Why shouldn't it be mutter? That's the first thing. Now, the truth is that's a weak answer. Because you could say that this is the beginning of the process, and when the Gemara says it's tfiyah, it's essentially saying the making of tzitzis is a problem. So this is the first step, but it's like a snowball rolling downhill. It's gaining momentum. Once you're ready in the process, that the Gemara meant that the whole process should be lishma. So that's perhaps not the best raya for the Rambam. However, it comes along the Kesef Mishnah with a second raya, which is stronger, but certainly debatable, but certainly more intriguing and worth our consideration. The Kesef Mishnah secondly says the following. Let's assume for a moment that the Rambam was wrong. Let's assume that to put the strings in the hole, you need Lishma, you need Kavanah. What, if that would have been the case, what should the Gemara we started with in Menachos have said when it said, tzitzis that are made by a guy are possible because there's no Lishma? Did the Gemara say that? The Gemara came up with a whole new drasha, not Gedilim Tasa Lecha from Devarim. Quoted our Parsha, quoted our Pasuk, of Dabar El B'nai Yisrael V'lo non-Jews. Why, says the Kesef Mishnah, wouldn't the Gemara just say much simpler? We know, we'll get to this in more detail shortly, but we know in Kol Tarakula, whenever there's a need of Lishma, non-Jews are excluded. Perish Halacha from Mesechus Gittin. So if there's a Halacha that you need to have Lishma putting the strings in the Beged, so that should have been the obvious reason why the Gemara would have said that non-Jews can't do it. Yet the Gemara came up with a whole new drasha of Dabra B'nai Yisrael, says the Kesef Mishnah. Keep your thinking caps on for a second. This takes one or two steps, but it's very compelling. Therefore, it must be, what's pshat? That apparently when it comes to Lishma, that's limited to making the strings. But once you already have strings, good. Three hechsherim, stamped on the bag, strings. When you take those out of the bag and you put them onto the baghead, apparently there's no more din of Lishma. And therefore, it should have been okay by a non-Jew. Comes along the Gemara and says, no, it would have been. But there's a second drasha. This is the drasha of Dabar El B'nai Yisrael.
Does the Rambam treat it as two separate mitzvahs?
Not two separate mitzvahs, no, because there is no mitzvah of making tzitzis at all. The mitzvah is wearing tzitzis when it's obligatory. There's no mitzvah of making tzitzis. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think so. Making tzitzis is not a mitzvah. There are halachos about what you have to do so that when you wear the tzitzis, they're kosher. But that's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah saseh is wearing tzitzis.
Is there not a halacha that one makes when one makes tzitzis?
I never made tzitzis. No. Not a fixed one. No. L'shayim mitzvahs. L'shayim mitzvahs tzitzis.
And then
a popsicle.
No.
Like baking matzahs. Right, l'shayim, right. Building the sukkah. This is discussion in a lot of contexts. This is a famous tzitziv in the Hamek Shela about this. They discuss about Hechsher Mitzvah, and certain Hechsher Mitzvahs have an elevated status, and here perhaps tzitzis would constitute, I forget, the tzitziv gives as an example, but I would guess he does. The tzitziv is a famous yisod. This is just, you know, it's a good tzitziv to carry around with you. You never know when you'll need this tzitziv. It's in the Hamek Shela. He says, he has also the discussion, but basically he points out that there's two different levels of Hechsher Mitzvah. There's some which are completely nothing. There's just Stama Hechsher Mitzvah. It's a preparation, it's nothing. And then there's what he calls Hechsher Mitzvah HaKasav Bakra. If the Hechsher Mitzvah itself is mentioned in the Torah, true, it's still only the Hechsher Mitzvah, it's not the Mitzvah, but it might have certain other statuses. For example, perhaps you would say about that Mitzvah Bo Yosem Ribu Shluch, it's not the Mitzvah, it's only the Hechsher Mitzvah. Perhaps, would you say Asay Del Chalos Asay on the Hechsher Mitzvah? Perhaps it depends on what type of Hechsher Mitzvah. This kind of Hechsher Mitzvah? But Lamaisa, it's still only Hechsher Mitzvah. Whatever other razzle dazzle nachaminas we could find, it's still only a Hechsher Mitzvah.
Two examples of the latter would be Shechita and Tefillah B'Mikvah.
Maybe. Those are very, very complicated because it's not clear what to refer to those as. We have other ketanim, we call them Matir, and according to some Rishonim, maybe they are mitzvahs. Those are both complicated. But if we were having that discussion, which we're not, then it would be important to distinguish between these different types of things, and a chanami. Okay, so just as the Mar Mokum, if you want to take a look on this pasuk, the Torah Temima has a whole argument where he wants to claim basically the Kesef Mishnah's misreading the Gemara and whatever. Okay, this is like a technical thing. I'm not necessarily blown away by the Torah Temima, but it's on that pasuk, Os Kuf Vav. You know, the Torah Temima works, right? Right on the top of his commentary, he's giving you the basic Gemaras before Bar Ilan, before the computer. He's giving you all the Gemaras that are coming based on that particular pasuk. And then, as you're reading a little blurb that he quoted from the Gemara, you'll have like little footnotes, his little ha'ar. And then on the bottom, that's where he's giving you his commentary. So it's an Os Kuf Vav on this pasuk. So the Shaila is as follows. Is there a way to, first of all, how do we understand, what do we see from the Rambam's understanding of Lishma in Tzitzis according to this? And more to the point, The Rosh in Hilchos Tzitzis disagrees. There's no razzle-dazzle, there's no explanation so much, but the Rosh in Hilchos Tzitzis, for those who haven't done this inside, the Rosh in the back of Maseches Menachos has a whole section called Hilchos Tzitzis. So in Hilchos Tzitzis, Simen Yadalid, the Rosh just says, as a matter of fact, Talia, not Tevia, Talia, Tav Lamed Yud Hey, Talia, hanging the Tzitzis, meaning putting them in the holes, that needs Lishma. So he argues on this Rambam. Aye, what about the Kesef Mishnah? He seems to be bringing out a very compelling proof from the Gemara. I want to share with you a very simple, you know, not too many Maror Mekumis. We'll get to the multitude of Maror Mekumis in the second half of this year. But just very basic understanding, get into the heart, get into the kishkas of these topics, of these contexts, of these concepts, excuse me, of Lishma, and what Myron asked me before about Gadol Amal Al-Gabav, Yisrael Amal Al-Gabav, we'll get to that in a second. And this is something that I heard many years ago in a Chabura from, I guess in his direction, we have a relationship with what's called Talmud Chaver. I guess he's my Rav Chaver, and that's sort of Tzvi Savolovsky. He just pointed out, I think, a very good reading of the Gemara, of the Rishonim, of the Rishonim. Let's take a step back for a second, and let's take a little trip to Hilchos Gittin. Because that is the prime location for some of these basic halachos. The Gemara, even though we know it's a pasuk in Chumash, we know that get needs to be written l'shma. More specifically, l'shmo, l'shma, u'l'shem, gerushin. There was once a get that was given in yeshiva, and there was a chassidish sofer, and I still have it ringing in my ears. L'shmai, l'shmeh, l'shalayim gerushin. So there was one late in the yeshiva at one point screamed out as he was going through his routine, L'shem mitzvah matzah. Okay. Sometimes you need to make a joke to break the tension. Thing you get in yeshiva is not the easiest thing. So this is a classic discussion in the Sefer Gittin and Hilchos Gittin. There is a Mishnah and then a Gemara in Gittin and Achav Gimel Amid Aleph, which tells that a cherish shote the katan are kosher to write a get. The Gemara says, how could that be? Lav b'nei dayan inu. They have no knowledge, at least certainly not the type that can constitute l'shma. So the Gemara answers, v'chei gavna, Yisrael omeid al gavov. There's a Jew sitting there telling him exactly how to do it, saying l'shem, l'shma, l'shma, l'shem gerushin. How exactly that works, how omeid al gavov works, perhaps we'll get to, and that itself perhaps the machlokas were shown him, but that the Gemara says works. So once we're on a roll, we all of a sudden, a whole new vistas are open for us. We never would have thought that a cousin could write a get. But now we have this concept of God Olam and Al-Gabav, so the Gemara figures, let's get greedy, let's see how far we can push the envelope. What's the next question the Gemara logically is going to ask? How far do you push it? What about a guy? Yisrael Olam and Al-Gabav, why shouldn't that work? So the Gemara answers, hold on, stop, time out. Why? Gemara says, Akum, Adaita de Nafshe Ka'avit. Adaita de Nafshe Ka'avit. Now, how do you translate those words? He's doing it on for himself. So what does that mean? What does that mean, Adaita de Nafshe Ka'avit? So this is a Machlokas Rishonim. It's a Machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim hold this very, very practical. Some of this is the Pashas of the Gemara. Very, very practical. Lishma is like this abstract, you know, concept. You know, this guy, again, we're talking about someone who knows how to be a scribe, right? We're talking about a guy who's going to write, you know, a nice Hebrew letter. But he knows what he knows. He doesn't know this other. This is already too far removed. So you're going to say, okay, so the Israel is going to tell him, do it, l'shma. You know, it's just, he's not going to help cup. He's going to be focused on what he's focused on. He's not going to help cup. He's not going to be able to keep in mind this abstract notion of l'shma. That's one perspective. Very practical. And, teaser, whenever you have anything that's practical, there's a window, sometimes bigger, sometimes smaller, but there's a window for exceptions to a rule, and if you can resolve the practical problem. But that's one perspective. The other perspective is that it's clothed in the Gemara's language in a very practical, prosaic, down-to-earth language. But really what the Gemara's getting at is a tifa, razzle-dazzle, wunderschöne reason that a guy is mufka from Lishma. Lishma is a religious concept. It's a religious concept. It's not writing. It's not a physical exercise. It's a religious idea, and if you're not a Jew, you're just not shayach to lishma. The words are so foreign, the concept is so foreign, that it's simply not a reality that's even conceivable. It's not a practical problem, it's a theological or religious problem. It's impossible. The guy in lishma, he could be a nice guy, he could be trying his best, and the Jew could have the most kavanah in the world as he stands over his shoulder, but it's incompatible. Comes out, where will you see a nafka mina? I'll give you one nafka mina. In the Middle Ages, there was a following problem at some point in time. I don't know the exact dates, but bothered the got the Rishonim in a tumult. The people who worked on preparing leather hides, they had a union. They had a union, and it was mainly a non-Jewish profession, and they only let people from the union do it. So Shaila was, how are you going to prepare the cloth for a Sefer Torah? The Ibut Oros also needs to be done Lishma for Sefer Torah. So how are you going to do it? If you have a Sefer Torah from 10 years, from 50 years ago, from the Baba, okay, you're okay. What if you need a new Sefer Torah? What are you going to do? So some Rishonim held, there's Mamish, you know, virtually nothing you can do. We're stuck. We're Mamish stuck. And there was a Rabbeinu Baruch, some others perhaps, who had, no, Yisrael Omer Al Gamov, I the Gemara. The Gemara says, Goya adopted an object of it. That's by a get. A get takes a long time to write, and it's hard. It's a good 30 minutes, and it's in the beginning, you'll tell him Lishma, Lishma, Lishem Gershon, and he'll help. But after 5 minutes, and he's trying to remember the words, and he's trying to remember the concepts, it's too much going down the natural. He can't pull it off. But you know how you're Ma'avid Oros? They have some kind of a solution, some chemical, and you take the leather, the skin, you put it in. It takes 1 second, says Rabbeinu Baruch. For 1 second, a good guy, you can have Lishma. Again, not on his own, but we'll tell him Lishma. And he can house cup, he can keep it in his mind for 1 second to put it in the water. Then it sits for a few days in the solution. But that's okay. What do you see? This is the machlokis about how Gomer Al Gabav works. If you see there's a practical thing, so then here's a practical way out. But if you see there's a guy's mufkos, then there's no solution. The Rambam was of those who held, it's a fundamental incompatibility. There is no solution. Guy is mufka from Shema, period. It's not practical, it's very fundamental. Based on that, so then it comes out that the Kesef Mishnah's read, so to speak, or suggestion for the Rambam makes a lot of sense. Again, let's just work, let's review everything we said in the Kesef Mishnah already, but just add a little bit of time to it based on what we just said. The Kesef Mishnah says, listen, you look at this Gemara through the Rambam's eyes. The Gemara says the guy cannot string the tzitzis through the hole. The Rambam's looking at it and saying, well, 1 second. Ladati, right? Lashitasi, from Gittin and Hilchos Sefer Torah, it's obvious why. Tzitzis needs Lishma. We know a goy is mufka from Lishma. So is that the obvious reason? Whoa, the Gemara didn't give that reason. The Gemara had a whole other drasha from our parsha, Dabro B'nai Yisrael. It must be very simple. That as powerful as a din as Lishma is in the worldview of the Rambam, but if it doesn't apply, it doesn't apply. If Lishma would apply, of course that would be the reason the Gemara would have given. The fact that the Gemara didn't give it, it's obvious that that must be the reason, because that's the only reason why it wouldn't have been given. However, perhaps shot in the rush, and those who may agree with the rush, is that we asked, how could they get out of this raya of the Kesef Mishnah from the Gemara? Because it depends. If you see Yisrael Omer Al Gabov differently, you could learn the Gemara differently. And the rush perhaps could be learning the Gemara as follows. When the Gemara says, your guy cannot put the strings and the tzitzis through, you might have had a Havamina that would work, that that's referring to a guy by himself. What about a guy with Yisrael Omer Al Gabov? And I say, why should that work? Because how long does it take to put strings through a hole? The same 1 second it takes to put the Oros into the solution. I'm not talking about all the Pachifkis and all the things we do with the knots. That's all extra Hidurim. I don't even know if you can call them the Rabbanans mostly. Kabbalah and all sorts of things. Mishra Adin Midaraisa, you put it through the hole and you tie a knot. That's it. Mitzvah Daraisa of Mekayim. That takes a second. Okay, it'll take 5 seconds. That's a Daita Nanashi is not going to apply to that. If you have the what? Practical understanding about that in the Rashi, which we already know some Rishonim have from Hilchos Sefer Torah and other contexts. So if you have that approach, so then you could read the Gemara and say, listen, perhaps the Gemara was only coming to exclude. And Echanami, there is a din l'shma when it comes to putting the strings through the holes. When the Gemara says that it's because of Davar Bnei Yisrael, what the Gemara was coming to Bavorn was that you might have read the Gemara as only excluding midin l'shma the Yisrael, the guy by himself. But Yisrael Omer al Gamav would help a guy in such a very easy process. And that should have worked. Kamashma, that even Yisrael Omer al Gamav doesn't work. Why our Parsha Davar Bnei Yisrael? Lamaisa, after all is said and done, how do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch tells us in the beginning of Simon Yodalad in Orach Chaim, Tzitzis she'osan ain a Yehudi posel. Tzitzis davro b'nei Yisrael afuki ain a Yehudi. Fine. Halacha beis is where he tells us our halacha. Kitzel Yisrael tzitzios bebeged below kavana. So the Rambam's chiddush was that Yisrael can be yotei without kavana. Again, why? As the Ketz Mishnah taught us. Because there's no Gemara ever that tells us that part of the process needs Lishma. Haraya, as the Rambam read it, the Gemara that apostles a guy from stringing the tithis gave a different reason. Elamai, because Lishma is not part of that process. That would have been the obvious reason to do it. In fact, the Gemara gave a different reason because Lishma, according to the Rambam, must not apply here. So then, Yisrael, without Kavana, should work. A guy doesn't work because of a pasuk. That's the Sifal and Shulchan Aruch. But a guy should work. But Yisrael, without kavana, should work. What is the? How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Yisrael hitzul tzitzis beveged below kavana. Imi tzitzios acherim mitzuyim lahakshiro. Yesh tismach al harambam shemachshir. Aval lo yivarchalov. I.e. Mikra din the Shulchan Aruch paskins. I guess if you want to call, maybe Mikra did the wrong way of putting it. Bidi yebed. Shulchan Aruch is saying you can rely on the Rambam, but even then you can't really say a bracha on it. In other words, l'chachila we hold, like the Rush, that l'shma does apply even to that last stage of stringing the tzitzis through the beged. Flia, hanging the tzitzis, as the Rush calls it. And therefore, really you should have kavana. For sure a non-Jew can do it, but even Yisrael has to have kavana. The Rambam says it doesn't need l'shma, and therefore a Jew without kavana is okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, bid yevid, and even then don't make a bracha.
And by cotton, would the bottle ever the also
presumably. No, presumably that would be good. If it works for get, which is perhaps one of the most highest levels, so certainly the hanging the tzitzis, so even tviyat tzitzis, which we're going to get to shortly, but the hanging the tzitzis for sure would be okay in that regard. For sure. So you're asking, or you're alluding to a different question, which is, maybe you are, and it's anyway worth sharing. What is the lumdus? How does Gadol al-Gam and al-Gabav work? We said the reason it doesn't work for a guy, we've had that hakira, how does that is nafshi? What does that mean, practical or mufka, formal? But how does Yisrael al-Gam and al-Gabav work? So in general, that itself is a machlokas rishonim. The simple understanding is that if the Jew is saying, you know, l'shem mitzvah matzah, l'shem l'shma l'shma l'gitin, l'shem l'shma, so eventually it's going to seep in. A night in nafshay means, or forget that, take that back. So the non-Jew, excuse me, the katan, the shota, on their own, they're not going to be able to think about it. But if I, you know, if you tell them enough, right, even the bar mitzvah, even before bar mitzvah, you learn the laning. Right, you practice enough, you'll remember something. So you keep on telling him the shema, he'll get it. That's the pashas of how Gadol works. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah quoted in Masechas Chulin, and maybe there are others like him who have a very intriguing possibility, which may relate to our second part of the shir, so it's Kedai, I'm telling you this now. And that is, perhaps it means, Enechanami, the guy is the one who's, excuse me, sorry, the Katan, whoever it is the one who's doing the Oso Maisa, writing the get, to use the example of the Mishnah. But it's the Shema of the Gadol that is Mitzaref to his Maisa. Yeah, exactly. Right. Good. No, so that maybe then you have to say according to the Rambam. Maybe that helps a little bit according to the Rambam. Because if you hold it on any maisa that a guy is doing, that's a mufka from Lishma. Right, good. So I'll tell you, good. I think you're making a fair point. I guess the answer to that question is going to be that in general, this Rabbeinu Yonah is very difficult. Because how you talk that you can disentangle and you can separate the Lishma and the maisa, that's very big chiddush. As I most subsequent poskim don't like this. It's like in the base medrash in the Olam Alam, this is great. But from the Maisa, a lot of poskim don't like this because it's very hard to distinguish. So if you really, you know, you have to ask, you have to take a look at that Rabbeinu Yonah, if we can find out, I don't know offhand, how does he hold on the good old Agav Shaila? That's your homework.
No, but it is his parents, because by the cotton he's neutral. By the guy...
Again, that depends on how you understand Agav Dinanache. That's... If you hold it, that's how it works. Okay, maybe that's it. It's worth thinking about. It's worth thinking about. Okay. So I mentioned, we saw the Gemara already, and now I want to move backwards, if you will, in the process. So now we know how you're going to have to string the sentence through. But how are you going to make the strings? How do you make the strings? So without getting into all the complications, it seems to me, and anything that's Matzias related is already a perplexing possibility to me. That could be tzitzis, tefillin, kashrus. I'm not a Matzias person. But I believe that basically the processes in halacha, at least, although corresponding them to actual reality is my challenge, are basically they talk about three possibilities. One is like nifuts or nifuts. That's like when you comb the wool to get all the schmutz and whatever. And there's a shiloh, do we even say about the niputz that it needs to be lishma? That's a discussion, which I don't want to get into, but there are marmakamas on that. Then you have this middle position, which is the main part, which is what we're going to talk about, which is the tviya, which is turning that raw wool, spinning that into a string. And then there's what they call shazira, which is like, I think,
twining.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Louis. Louis, your mama, she gave us the food and the word I'm looking for. Louis, your mama should have home run. Okay. So those are the three processes. And the Iker one, which is the Gemara already in Masechah Sukkah was talking about, is the Tviya. That's actually spinning, making the wool into strings. And the Gemara in Sukkah told us that you need Lashma, it's a Beferish Gedilim Tasalacha, Lashem Kofa. It can't be Stam that you're doing it, you have to be doing it Lashem a Mitzvah. The Tur quotes us in the Gemara of Orachayim, you need Tviya Lashma. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Aleph tells us, Hachutin Tzarev Shihut Fuyin Lishma. The Ramah, just to give you the reference I refer to, the Ramah quotes those, Yesh Machmir Ma'afil Lanapson Lishma. However, the Minog is Lahakel Benipus. That earlier part, even the combing, some say to be Lishma, and we could perhaps be Mekel on that. Why is Tviya the critical stage? So the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkat and Tazvav, the mitzviya ve'elich who hakol b'chlal ha'asiya, the kaim long the tzarek l'shma. That is the shasgur. That's the catalyst. That is the stage from which everything else is almost like if you will, on autopilot. Meaning that sets this the tone. That's now everything else after that is like a domino effect. That's all part of the maisa. That's the critical point which begins. We cross over the line from preparation to, quote, making the strings. We're not just preparing, we're now making. So, in light of that, the Shaila is as follows. As a parallel, I guess, 15 minutes to what we spent an hour on Shabbos HaGadol. Right? It comes along, industrial revolution, and lots of things can all of a sudden be made easier. So one huge Shaila which rocked the whole Torah world, can you make matzahs by machine? So, matzahs are only once a year. Right? So this come along every day. So some enterprising folks say, huh? I can make even more money than just matzahs. I can make tzitzis all year round by machine. Can you, again, now I don't think there's yet been a machine, maybe now, I don't know, but certainly not then. There was not yet a machine invented that could take strings and tie them onto your shirt. When we speak about the machine-made tzitzis, we're talking about you put the raw wool in, and it can come out as strings. You then have to do the shazira, etc. But you can do that. This is already going back well over 100 years, more than that. That they had more basic rudimentary machines, and certainly nowadays, I'm sure they have very complex machines that can do that with great precision. Shaila, is that sufficient? What is the potential problem? So there are a few practical problems, which we'll have to see. We'll see some of the machmirim we'll mention. But of course, the main one which we're focusing on, which is the one that emerges from the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, is what? Lishma. If there's a requirement that you need to have lishma, so the question is, okay, a human being can think lishma. I'm doing it for this purpose. Right? The machine works. The machine doesn't have a purpose. The machine doesn't say, I'm doing this for X. You weren't here for the Shabbos Gadol Rosh Hashanah.
That was
here. Full leader, you should have stayed in Greece. I'm just kidding. Just forgive me. I'll give you the Marmukamashit. It's not take, though. We haven't figured that one out yet in Shomer.
Come on, I'm going to
the machine. Yes, they have. So the Tiferes Yosef, perhaps one of the earliest tshuvas that's written on this question of tzitzis by the machine. Mama should open up the Sefer Or HaChaim Siman Aleph. And he says the following. He is discussing, and for those who may remember the Shabbos of Gadol Rosh, we saw the same phenomenon, which is that the early machines were very rudimentary. And basically, they had more power and more speed, but they were still a guy sitting in a room going, you know, the people turning a machine wasn't literally not by hand. There was a machine that was being manipulated and worked, so if the people would all of a sudden take a lunch break, the machine doesn't work. So on that kind of a machine, says this earliest tshuva of the Tiferes Yosef, says that tzvi is being done by the active involvement of Jews. Again, it can't be non-Jewish workers, because we already know a guy cannot be part of the process, without whom the machines wouldn't run. That is definitely kosher, right? While they're doing it, they're saying the shame is a tzitzis. And as others point out, Mali with their hands, Mali with an instrument in their hands, right? Just as a complete parallel. I don't think he uses this, but just, but derech pilpul, it kind of popped in my mind. Vavar on Shabbos, right? You use a fork, that's still called the yad. So too here, says the Shasyotin. So I'm doing it with the machine, but I gotta still turn the machines in. Gotta schmitz. If you're schmitzin, it's your credit. That's basically his argument. The Tshuva Zakin Aaron, that's the great Rav Aaron Walkins, that's Salm. So he also speaks about this, and he says that kind of machine is good, but he was already living in a time where he knew about other machines. He knew about electricity. Automated electricity, electric machines. And he says, to contrast those, he thinks the automated one would not work. But at least he is one who's on record as saying at least the earlier machines should have been good. I found online, I don't want to be a trick anyone, I have no bekiyus in the Rebbe's sichas. But if you type in, what did I type in? Making tzitzis, or machine and tzitzis in Google, you'll get among your 500 and something hits, Sichos in English. Lubavitch is like all over the web. So in there I found, fascinating, it's really fascinating, the previous Rebbe spoke during, on the fourth day of the Shiva of his father-in-law. The Rebbe before him, I don't know what to call him. Not the Rosh Hashanah, that's two before. The one before him was Yosef Yitzchok, was his father-in-law's name. That's not Rosh Hashanah. You know? You're the Bucky. Was it? It was Yosef Yitzchok, was his father-in-law, right? No, Yosef Yitzchok. Yeah. So on the fourth day, they give you the whole date on that Sichos website. He decided, I'm going to start telling you stories in Maislach about my father-in-law. And he tells that after World War II, there were Lubavitcher Hasidim who got Nebuch sent to Germany. A lot of good places for Lubavitcher Hasidim to be. Apparently Germany wasn't one of them. Just, you know, it wasn't the same environment they were used to. Different world. Even the Jewish world is a different world. And they were all discombobulated. And one of the problems was, what do they knew about tzitzis? And apparently in Germany they were using machine-made tzitzis. And they asked then the son-in-law of the Rebbe, Menachem Mendel, what do we do? And he was aware of a tshuva of the Divrei Chaim, the son of the Rebbe, which we'll get to, who was against it. So he went and asked the Raya, whatever you say his name, the Riaz, okay? And he said the following. He said there was a Maisa from 1915, which here comes in the Rebbe Rashab, where similar problems, the world was in chaos. They asked the Rebbe, he sent a shaliach to go to a particular Jewish-owned factory. He reported back on what he saw, and the Rebbe Rashab Paskin, not only can you wear them, you can make a bracha on them, it's 100% kosher. And that, I don't know if Lubavitch to this day does that, l'chachila, but and all the Lubavitch research I did, Lubavitcher Rebbe is another one who holds, even with automated electric machines that we would have today, it's 100% okay. A little bit more of an authoritative halachic source that says that is the Tshuva Chesed L'Avram, Adur Tinyana or Chaim Simon Gimel. He holds as good 100%. And this way you have Lashma. What's a Lashma? The guy who hits the button says Lashem, Mitzvah Tzitzis, and he hits the button. You'll say, but there's no Koach Gavra. I only did the one thing, but it's 10 other actions that made the Tzitzis and I didn't do it. Says Chesed L'Avram, very simple. Show me a Gemara that says you need Koach Gavra for Tzitzis. Who said you need it? Maybe you don't have it. Maybe it's Grama. It's not active Koach Adam. But who said you need it? Who said you need Koach Adam? You look at the Achiezer of Chaim Ozer, Chel Gimel, the end of Simon Samach Tess, as well as the Hartzvi of Tzipesach Frank and Rachaim Chelak Aleph Simon Yud. they both quote this Chesed LaAvram. At least Bidi Eved, they're willing to rely on that. Some of you, and I would be really impressed if you were one of them, some of you may, if you do, recall in our Shams HaGadol Rosh Hashanah, one of our important Marmakomos was the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was not really, really about Matzah. The Chazon Ish was really about Tefillin and Tzitzis. It's in Aruch Chaim, in the beginning of Aruch Chaim, the Chazon Ish has a very strong position pro, so to speak, this phenomenon of the machines. He says there's no need for Koach Adam or Avodas Adam. Even a monkey could do it. He wasn't talking about reading the Shubla, he was talking about even a monkey could do it. It's a line in the Chazon Ish. And unlike a get, where you do need a Maisa Adam, here you don't need that at all. Even if you let water run on a machine, he talks about hydraulic power, to make the tzitzis it would be okay, since the Koach Rishon was Lishma. Now, I don't have time to do this, I'm running out of time, I want to finish up, but just so you should know, if you read this Chazon Ish closely, there is a potential problem. It's Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, even though he agrees on Maskana, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank seems, at least, to catch the Chazon Ish in a little bit of a stira. So on the one hand, the Chazon Ish says there's no need for Koach Adam, even a kof, even a monkey could do it. On the other hand, he says at the end, but by the Jew starting the process, by letting the water out that's going to go and start the process, that's the Koach Rishon of an Adam, which is sufficient. If you don't need Koach Adam, so why do you need Koach Rishon? No, Lishma can go on whatever the water is doing. Who said Lishma needs to go on a Maisa? Yeah, that's what the Chesed Lavram says. It's a din in Maseches Menachos that Tzitzis need Lishma. Yet he says, but there's no need for Koach Adam. There's no need for Koach Adam. So you're okay. I was not gonna. Since you're drawing it out, I'll just point out that if I'm not mistaken, I think the Hartzvi does not have an answer. But the Tzitz Eliezer has the tshuva on this, and he says what you're driving at, which is he wants to effort the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish wasn't saying that you need the first stage, you need that Koach Maisa, because you need Maisa Adam. Because he a line earlier explicitly says you don't need Maisa Adam. What he means is that you can't have a complete disassociation between the Lashma and what's making the tzitzis. Whatever you want to call it, but something's making the tzitzis. So in what sense is my Lashma relevant? If I'm the one who's doing it, my Lashma goes on my action. But, Gil Marshall, if the factory is in Gaithersburg and I'm here thinking Lashma, is that going to help anybody? Of course not. So says the tzitzis, yes, that's what the Chazdish was driving at. I have to be the Ovei. That's the Chalik, that's his Chalik. You have to be the Ovei. Doesn't mean you need to talk Adam. Maybe the guy who's running the machine is the Ovei, even though that may be halakhically called drama. The association, I think that's what the Tzitzeliyaz is driving at. By me pushing the button, that makes me shayach so that my Lashma should be relevant. Right? The Lashma could be floating off in the air and not land on anything. But if I'm the one to push the button, then my Lashma gets to land on these tzitzis.
When the lightning strikes and makes the machine go, he's standing there.
And if I have Lashma, right? That the Tzitzeliyaz says that that's what the Chazdish is driving at, and I think it's a very good explanation. Just to mention two more things. Rav Kook has a tshuva in the Mishpat Kohen, Simon Lama Gimel, where he says also it's okay if the Jew is Mechavin Lishma, and he equates it with Yisrael Omer Al Gabov. He draws that parallel. Just like Yisrael Omer Al Gabov in certain cases, so too, here Yisrael Omer Al Gabov.
So the guy might be
machine? No, the guy might be worse than the machine. We saw this by Matzah also, not to revisit that entirely. The guy might be worse than the machine. The machine is neutral. The machine is neutral. There's no adaita dinafshe. It's not even the daita. So he doesn't flesh it out so much, but I think it's very nice. The Chuvas Avnei Shoham, I saw this quoted, he says a very nice idea. He says, perhaps it depends on the lumnus of how Katan Omer Al Gabov works, the point we were discussing before. Do you say Katan, when you say Gadol Omer Al Gabov, excuse me, is it that because I'm screaming into the Katan's ears, he finally gets the point and he does Lashma? Or is it that my Lashma, Rabbeinu Yonah says, somehow is Mastarev? So the Avnei Shoham says, it depends on this Machlokes. And again, this merely may be what Rav Kook was driving at, but I don't know if he spells it out so clearly. If you assume, in general, Gadol Omer Al Gabov works because by me saying it 100 times, the cotton finally gets the point. And that's not going to help here, because you can scream it 1,000 times. The machine's never going to get it. But if you assume that the way Gadol Omer Al Gabov works is that by me having the intent and the cotton doing the action, we're a tag team, so to here, the tag team can be the machine. The machine do the action, and I'm Ki'ilu Yisrael Omer Al Gabov in the sense that I'm providing the Lishma. you want to add the Tzitz Eliezer and the Chazon Ish, that I should be the one who pushes the button because that gives me a shaychus, fine, great. But there's nothing wrong with me having Lishma and the machine doing the action. That is the whole first school of thought, more or less okay with it. There is a whole other school of thought, which I think in the earlier post was more of a minority, but nowadays, and perhaps it's maybe our affluence, we can afford the more expensive handmade tzitzis, we're more machmir on things, but the poskim nowadays seem to be much more disinclined. But the reason is because there, even if it was a minority originally, there was a very strong opposition. Perhaps the most well-known was the Divrei Chaim. And again, he was one of the big players, if you remember, in the Matzah as well. The Sanz Rav, there in the beginning of Or HaChaim, Chelek Beis, he apostles for a few reasons. And again, if you'll remember, it's mamash an eerie parallel, or maybe not eerie, just even unsurprising. He starts off with a few very practical reasons, and then he gets to his, you know, cleanup batter, his real fundamental reason. What's his practical reason? So if you remember from Matzah, he's worried that there's going to be crumbs left over on the rails, and maybe it won't be cleaned, and there'll be matzah, and the oil will mix with the water, and that will actually speed up the chimus. He had also the practical reasons before he got to his lishma. So here he says, listen, you need to check the wool to make sure from linen, you got to make sure there's no shatnez. So that takes it slowly and by hand. That's not going to be good with a machine. Plus, you know, who's in the factory, most likely, said the Sanz Rav? Yiddish men? No, the Yiddish men are in the front of the store. So there's going to be non-Jewish workers. So what's going to happen? If the Jew is like, you know, Mashgiach with the long beard, he comes and pushes the button, great. What happens when the machine breaks? Something gets stuck in the thing. So what's the worker going to do? He's going to take it out, he's going to fix it, and he's going to hit the button again. He's going to remember to call the rabbi to go tell him to push the button again? So this is just practically, you're taking too big of a risk. The people, the non-Jews around, are going to inevitably, not for any harm, just it's going to happen. And finally, he says, you have a bigger, more fundamental problem. Lishma. If there's no human involvement, you don't have lishma, and perhaps even more than that, you don't have koach adam. And we saw the chesed Avraham said, who said you need koach adam? But many other posts can assume that you do need this to be, I have to finish. You do need to have an action. The Chubas Eretz Tzvi, the kosher glover, who by now most of you should know, has been memorialized where? The Mendel Gottesman Library of Yeshiva University, floor 5A. You get off the elevator and you turn immediately to your right, and on the wall is a big picture of the Chuvas Eretz Tzvi, the Baal Chuvas Eretz Tzvi. Are you Fromer? Endowed by relatives of his named Fromer. It wasn't because we love the Chuvas. Still, someone had to endow it. It's the same in every yeshiva. He was, who was his Rebbe? I've quoted him before, guys. You gotta listen. Who's his Rebbe? Louis, he's your knight. Go. Another piece. I'll give you a hint. A chassidisher. A premier chassidisher posek. Avnei Nezer, the protege of Avnei Nezer. As an aside, he has a lot of papulish things. And I once heard, and I'm sure he said it more than once, Rav Shachter likes to point out that the genius can't be replicated. I mean, he's not the only one who said it, but Rav Shachter likes to say this. You know, certain basic skills, you know, if you have a methodology that you can teach a student. But talent, genius, cannot be taught. So he tied it that the Eretz Tzvi fell short. Because the Talmud, the protege of the Avnei Nezer, if he wanted to be the Avnei Nezer, the problem was, not everyone could be the Avnei Nezer. So he is not as big a fan of the Tshuvas as he is of, for those who know, he's the biggest fan ever of the Avnei Nezer, and that was a super duper genius, and Eretz Tzvi was just a little plain genius. And therefore he thought he fell short sometimes. So that's all you need to know and more about the Eretz Tzvi, otherwise known as the Kosher Glover. So he says that you don't really need Koch Adam, and even hydraulic power, it should really work else Koch Adam, because I'm the one who started, you know, I lifted up the thing so that the water should go down, v'chulei. All of that he starts off sounding very makel, but since he said turning on the electricity itself is a kasha, is turning on the electricity a maisa? Or maybe that's what we have in halacha called a hasaras hamonea. I'm not doing an active maisa, but there's an artificial impediment which I'm removing, and therefore the thing happens automatically. That's something less than me actively doing something. I'm not actively causing something to happen. I'm just removing the obstacle so that mamela it happens. Right? If water flows downhill and there's something blocking it, so if I remove the dam, I'm not causing the water to go downhill. I'm just being master of the monea. So when you turn on a button, this is like the lumbus, I have to get the electricians and the rabbanim to talk together. How do you hold electricity? Is it that the electricity is mamish flowing, and if you just open up that socket, it's going to flow? So then maybe I didn't do a maisa. I just did a saras hamonea. Or do you say, no, by me turning it on, I did a maisa, I turned it on, and therefore that shoots the electricity through. So if you hold, if you assume that you need a Maisa, and you hold that maybe turning on the button is not a Maisa, well, he's not sure, I don't know. And the whole Lishma question, you can have a Lishma separate from the machine. So he says, there's too many Shailas, and therefore he recommends against. One last old-time tshuva, that Machzeh Avram of Steinberg, so he's also Machmir, and he rejects the assumption that the earlier Achronim had of no need for Kochodim, because he assumes, what's our source? Gedilim Tasa Lecha. And he says it's kind of like Tase Velomen Osoy. That's exactly what he says. Exactly what he says. And not exactly, but it's a dimyon, he says. And just like in other contexts where we say Tase, you need an action. It can't just be something that you already had in the back. So to here, you need an action, and therefore this is not going to be good. Just to mention as the contemporary poskim, so I mentioned the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer is not pro it. He kind of recommends the Baal Nefesh Yachmir, Ben Tori Yachmir, that kind of thing. But Mikra then he says it should be okay, and he's very much preaches tolerance. He says if you see someone with a machine, says you shouldn't yell at them. They have great poskim to rely on. So he's kind of trying to hedge his bets. And then the Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss, he very much advises against it, especially if the machines are owned by non-Jews, and you have all sorts of problems. You need Koach Adam throughout it, and you need active Lishma, and what if the machine breaks? He resurrects the Derech Chaim's concern, then if it's a non-Jewish factory or a non-Jewish owned machine, they'll come in. And finally, to conclude, the Shevet Alevi, Rav Wozner of Bnei Brak, he also just says, no games, no Beishamay Beisil, just possible. Just possible. Period. Okay, this is the Shaila. I think my general sense, Mikra, of the more overwhelming consensus is most people, at least in our generation, do try to be Mahadir for, and you'll see, if you go look, next time you look by Tzitzis, on the bag, next to the four Haskamas, you know, say Maisa Adam or Maisa Yad, something like that. Avodas Yad, thank you. That's what I meant, thank you. Avodas Yad. And it's certainly worth being Mahadir for. If for whatever reason you either didn't realize or couldn't or whatever, so then you certainly have post-game file this month. Okay, so that's... How much is $5 worth to you? How much is the hitter worth to you? I can't answer that question.